Greetings and welcome to the Dynamics of Colorism with your host, Dr. Donna Maria Culbreth. You may call in to share your experiences, colorism, to pose a question, or just to give a general comment. You may do so by dialing area code 914-338-1308. And now, to begin our show, here's Dr. Culbreth. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Dynamics of Colorism for Thursday, December 11th, 2014. Tonight, we're hosting the show, the three of us. It's Dr. Julie John Kim, A.D. Elizabeth Culbreth, who's my daughter, and myself. And we are going to talk about our new book, Live Life Beautiful, Affirmations for Girls of Color. And our biggest topic is, why are you treating me differently? And it's all about how girls of color are being treated disparately. So good evening, Dr. John Kim, and good evening, Ada. How are you guys?
Great.
Good.
Thank you for having us on the show.
Good. Well, I'm excited. We have, we did it. I wanted to say, first of all, to our listeners, as you all know, we've been putting it out there all over social media and all over the map, that the three of us recently co-authored a book titled Live Life Beautiful, Affirmations for Girls of Color. And it'll be out next week, and I'm knocking on wood. Our printer said we should be ready. It'll be in ebook format as well as a paperback version. But before we even get into our discussion tonight, to Dr. John Kim and to Ada, I wanted to say thank you both very much from the bottom of my heart, because without you guys working, with all of us working together, with all of your hard effort, your work, the numerous nights that the both of them stayed up to 2, 3 o'clock in the morning when I was annoying them, everyone. And the book wouldn't be what it is without your contribution, so I want to say thank you, heartfelt thanks to the both of you. It wouldn't be there without you guys. So, and thank you for putting up with me being annoying, annoying you, rather, because I know I did. You guys will never tell me that. But I want to thank you both so very much, because when I was looking at the preview of the book, it was so beautiful, I just sat there and cried. So Ada and Dr. John Kim, kudos to you, congratulations, and thank you for all that you've done. So,
congratulations to you too, Dr. Culbreth. You're the brain behind this. You're the one that pushed us and said, come on, ladies, let's move forward with this. Let's do this. And, Ada and I both wouldn't be here without you. So thank you for your hard work and just your inspiration.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you much. So let's do this. Let's talk about, first of all, let's talk about the biggest topic here that's so interesting, how girls of color are treated differently because of either their race or the color of their skin. Like, what do you guys think about that?
I
think that it's obviously wrong, and of course probably very confusing for the individual who's going through that. Because I know as I was raised, I wasn't raised to see color. A person is a person. It doesn't matter if you're African, Egyptian, Mexican, Italian. A person is a person, and they deserve to be treated with respect and to be treated fairly.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think, Dr. John Kim? You're right, Ada.
Yeah, definitely. And bouncing off what Ada just said, I think, unfortunately, we live in a society where as much as we send our kids to school and we want to trust the school administration and teachers that they really are taking the interests of our child into consideration, we live in a society where, number one, we have teachers who are now aware of diversity issues and they themselves are not very diverse. Secondly, we have educators who are just very tired they're burned out from teaching. And so they're just there to do their hours and then just kind of leave. But, you know, at the same time, we do have very good teachers, too, who are out there, who are out there to make a difference in the world of our students. But because there's that lack of understanding, or because they see girls of color, especially girls who are Black, a certain way, like they're hyper-sexualized or they're defiant, a lot of times, you know, kids will go into school and they do even like the smallest thing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I totally believe in, if a child does something wrong, like give them the right kind of punishment, teach them how to correct themselves. But at the same time, if you're coming in and saying, oh, that's a Black student, and already coming in with all these assumptions, negative perspectives, then, you know, that's only going to hurt the student, going to hurt our children, and our, especially our girls of color. And, you know, like the article that was posted today in New York Times, I mean, that one girl was just 12 years old, and all she did was write hi on the bathroom stall, which, by the way, honestly, like, how many times have, I'm sure if we surveyed the majority of people listening on the radio, I mean, how many times have you just kind of, I guess it's called defacing, but you just written on a table with a pencil or a marker, or even on a bathroom stall. And it's not like she was, I mean, I know it's considered graffiti, but all she wrote was hi. And yet the person that she was with, who was, they said in the article, a white girl, she just kind of got a slap on the wrist. Whereas this girl who's Black, 12 years old, you know, the punishment was that the grandmother had to pay like $100, but, you know, the grandmother wasn't able to. And yet now this small writing in the bathroom of just writing hi has now turned into a criminal case. And, you know, it said in the article, too, that this girl was shaking because she was not a troublemaker. She was a good student. But yet I wanted to ask was, there was even a part in there where the news journalist said that, you know, yeah, she wrote on the bathroom wall, she wrote hi, and it kind of like also there was some defacing of a you know, gym shoe or a sneaker. But honestly, like, if we look at the monetary issue, I mean, how much would it have been to just take some paint, which is like $1 or $2, and just cover it up, or just tell the girls, and I say girls, not just the girl who's Black, both girls, go to the bathroom. Here's a rag, here's some soap, go clean it up. Or even like, okay, you guys are going to paint this stall that you messed up. You know, like, that would have been a fair punishment. But hurting the girl's self-esteem and turning this into a criminal case, I mean, that has huge ramifications that you just can't simply just gloss over. And I think that is the biggest, you know, saddest issue, is that this issue of defacing is now, it's an inner kind of pain that this girl has to deal with, and is always going to be very fearful of, you know. And as much as people say, oh, this is not a race issue, it is a race issue.
It is.
You know, girls, especially girls who have dark skin, Black girls, I mean, teachers, administrators will look at those girls and immediately, like, if they do something wrong, they are punished even harder. And I think that's really unfair, really unfortunate.
Well, you know what I think? Ada, go ahead.
Yes, I feel like they definitely took advantage of the Black girl's situation, I guess, if her family wasn't able to, you know, pay the fee to pay the $100. It's like, okay, well, now you have to do all this, this, and this. And I wonder if the other girl that was with her, if the white girl's family wasn't able to pay or refused to pay, would she have gotten the same treatment?
Yeah, and that's a very good question. Obviously, the other girl was able to pay. But my question, too, is, you know, Dr. Kovath, you've been in the legal field and everything, like, even if the grandmother or the family member, 12-year-old girl, couldn't pay, there is a plan where you can say, okay, well, you can't pay the $100, then you know what, you have to pay it in small little increments. of like, no, I don't know, what can you pay, like $10 a month or whatever.
I was just getting ready to say that they could actually, the legal system would allow them to go on a payment plan and they can make monthly payments. So, and then again, and see, this is the problem with it. The fact that it happened, the way that the matter was handled, whether or not the girl had the money, what bothered me the most was the fact that, did you see all the penalties that they put her, what they made her go through?
Yep.
She was charged. And the biggest issue here is that, and I didn't finish reading the whole article, but did anyone at the school system or the NAACP or any other group, did anyone ever see the wrong in the situation of how it was biased with race and skin color? Did anybody look at it like that?
No.
No one spoke up to come to her defense about that. I mean, she did have a lawyer, but obviously he wasn't that great because she had to end up going through all those penalties. So
the lawyer, white or black?
He felt strong. He's white. And he said he felt strongly about it, but he didn't really do anything to ease the situation or try to make it that both girls get the same type of treatment, maybe, but same type of punishment, I mean. She still had to go through all of that, community service and whatnot. And, you know, so for him to say he's advocating so fiercely for it, he really didn't do much, I guess, just put his name down that he was representing her in the case.
That's a shame. That is, you know, see, that's blatant right there. And aside from the fact you're talking about, like, black males are getting suspended at higher rates and incarcerated, when I was looking, you know, skimming back through that article, it did say that a group of researchers said that within minority groups, darker-skinned girls are disciplined more harshly than light-skinned girls. But in this case, it was white and black. So we know that was racial. And then we can also look at it from the standpoint of the colorism issues. So here's my problem with the whole scenario. So this happened and it was over with and that was it then? Nobody did anything about it?
No, she had to do whatever she was sentenced to for that particular vandalism crime. I think it was community service and something else she had to do. And that since she couldn't, since they couldn't pay $100, she had to do all these other penalties for committing the vandalism.
She was suspended.
Whereas the other girl, her family paid $100 and that was it. Nothing. I think she was suspended also. I don't remember. I read it earlier. I'm not sure if she was suspended, but her family paid $100, and that was it.
You know what makes me mad is because remember a couple weeks ago when that Elizabeth Lorton made the negative comments about the first daughters of Sasha and Malia?
And I watched all the videos that they had online, and I didn't see anything that they did wrong.
I didn't either. And that's what
they
I was
were just
ready.
Typical girl. I mean, they were standing up there talking about that. Of course, you know, most teenagers could care less about a turkey and their dad doing, you know,
exactly,
presentation or whatever. But they, you know, they weren't talking or having their own conversation on the side. They were standing there. They were engaging. When they were addressed, they paid attention. They showed acknowledgement. So I don't see what the problem was. I feel like maybe their clothes could have been a little bit snazzier. They were kind of dull to me, but it wasn't anything inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, well, you know what I
dress nowadays. It wasn't like they were showing off their belly button or anything.
I didn't understand what she was talking about. Like, they were dressed fine. They were conservative. They were covered.
Because you know what? Because historically, and when I wrote a response to Ada, I don't know if I showed it to you, but I wrote a letter to her, and just telling she has no place in public service. But in the letter, what I addressed, and Dr. Jung Kim, Kim reviewed and everything before we sent it out, but what I addressed in my letter to her was the fact that too often girls of color are told that there's something wrong with them, that they have to conform to certain societal, certain standards that are not, you know, unique for them, or they're told that, and it's always, especially with black girls too, it's just like in this article, it says that they're told they're unsophisticated, hypersexualized, and defiant. And they're also told that there's something wrong with them if they don't act, walk, think, dress, and behave like a girl who may not be a girl of color. So,
and I think, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and what bothered me is that her attacks on the first daughters. I mean, here's my point, guys. There was no need, in any shape, form, or fashion, for her to do what she did. It could not have been. I don't care what anybody says. First of all, everybody has a temper. Everybody has a limit. Everybody, you know, we all don't like what we see going on in society, but we have enough common sense, and it's called common sense, to know better. For her to attack the first daughters, and here's my problem. And a lady and I, and Dr. John Kim, I think he saw this too, in the I Am Beautiful Void, she barked at me and she said, a comic was rude or whatever, but that's all it is. Stop trying to make it racial. And I jumped back at her because of the fact that I get tired of when a person of color brings up an issue, especially when it affects girls and boys of color, and they want to address it. And here's a white person saying to you, oh, there you go, playing the race card again. And despite me trying to educate or enlighten this woman to understand that this issue and the comments that were made to the first daughters, it's deeper than the surface stuff that people saw, because historically it goes way back to how girls of color have been treated. And I don't know, I think I was just annoyed at the fact that how could anyone be that incredibly dumb, and then that's what it is, or stupid, to write something like that. That was just, it was horrible. So then, I don't know if eight of you remember this, but years ago when President Bush was in office, one of his daughters, or both of them, I don't recall exactly, they were going out drinking and doing all kinds of stuff, making spectacles of themselves. Yes, it was in the news. Yes, people talked about it. But I do not recall, and I remember because I wrote a paper on this, no one ever attacking them personally by saying, hey, you and you, why don't you try and get some class? Why don't you act like you belong in the White House? Nobody ever said that.
Nobody, no.
And what I was trying to get this woman to understand is that you can make a comment, you know, in the media, and you can say A, B, C, or D, whatever you want to say, and that's what happened with the Bush daughters. People talked about it. People were saying, oh, it's a shame, I can't believe this. And I don't remember really many people really saying that.
No one was ever as harsh as she was with the Obama girls.
I believe that she did this to the Obama girls simply because they were black. And I don't care what anybody says, I would go up against the best of them with this argument. Because had they been white girls, I don't think it would have ever been, the comment never would have been made. And then what made it worse is when she attacked the parents by saying, oh, well, I guess you don't have good role models with your parents. That is where the line was drawn. You never criticize a parent. You never, if you have a problem or issue with someone's parent, an adult, you never ever take it to their children and say to the kid, there's something wrong with you because there's something wrong with your parents. Or say to the child, there's something wrong with your parents, that's why you're all screwed up. And that's what she basically did.
Yeah.
Or attacking someone
else's parenting style. Everyone is different and they handle their household differently.
Exactly. And the other issue, guys, that really got to me was that what bothered me is that so many people are clueless as to how deeply rooted the attacks on girls of color are. They only look at something on the surface. And it's just like I had explained to this woman, you know, you don't have to have an intent in order for the outcome to be racist. Like, you don't have to have a racist intent for the outcome of something to be a racist issue. But when it comes to children, especially the first daughters, I mean, Dr. John Kim, you know me with Ada. As old as Ada is, if somebody came after my daughter and personally attacked her like that, they're going to deal with psycho mom. And
of course,
I think every parent, regardless of the situation, the issue, if someone's attacking your child, and what was really disturbing is that she never, ever apologized to Sasha or Malia. Think about it. She never personally apologized. She did, and we didn't know about it.
She did apologize, but she apologized for what she wrote and for getting in trouble.
But not to them.
Not to the Obama girl.
She apologized for the reaction that people had to it.
Yeah.
She didn't apologize to them personally.
What do you guys think about that? What did you think when you heard about what she did?
When I read the whole complete story from the comments that she made when the girls were on TV when it first happened up until her apology, and I thought maybe she might have been a little intoxicated. The way the wording was, I mean, it didn't really make sense to me, especially after I watched the videos of the girls. I didn't see that they did anything wrong, and their outfits were perfectly fine. So what she said, everything of what she said from the comments she made up until her apology, it was a little strange to me.
And
she said something about after talking to her mother or somebody else, and she went back and she realized what she said, you know, might not have been the best way or something like that. But it just seemed like all the backlash that she got from it, that's why she was apologizing, not because of what she really felt she said
exactly
was wrong.
What do you think, Dr. Yeah. Duncan?
No, I totally agree, too. I mean, before I made my final judgment, I went through, watched the videos, tried to go on to Google, see all the different pictures of the girls, like looked at their outfits again, looked at numerous videos again, just trying to see what in the world was this Elizabeth Lawton like talking about. And even called,
because she was very upset.
She was very upset, and she went to the point of saying like how they didn't show class. And I mean, yeah, in the video you can see that the girls were uncomfortable, which is very normal for the age, you know, like who they did not ask to be in the limelight. It's just that their father became president. At that age, I would have been uncomfortable too, but they acted very well for their age, very mature. I mean, the dad was, President Obama was making jokes. You know, I think at that age, I would have acted the same, like, don't make me get near that turkey. I did not think my father's jokes were so funny, you know, and the girls were acting the same way. I mean, they're human beings. They're just girls. But why are we picking on them for the way they're dressed or the fact that, you know, their facial reaction was just showing that they really didn't think their father was that funny. But just the fact that they came to support their father, like, why don't we applaud them for that? And, you know, the thing that I really, really disliked, I mean, just as a parent, is, you know, the fact that this woman, Elizabeth Lawton, and she's in charge of communications, and yet she decides to pick on these two young girls who again, like, did not ask to be there, and then starts, like, the very thing that you are told, society, I mean, you're told, do not attack girls for the way they look. And yet, that's exactly where she goes. And I just want to say to her, like, does she not remember being a teenager, being that age, feeling very awkward? Like, why, as a woman, would you attack another, you know, female, especially about their looks, and then judging them, and even saying that they look like something out of a bar or something? I mean, that's just too much. She was just way too inappropriate with these young girls. And, you know, I think every mother, everyone would react and just say, you know what, Elizabeth Lawton, like, it was bad enough that you attacked the president's daughters, but number two, you're attacking other females. And that's horrible. I mean, like, I think girls alone hear and see enough negatively about themselves, you know, the media, society, people trying to define them. And then when they're just, these two girls are just out there trying to support their father, who's the president, to have to be attacked again in that manner. Shame on Elizabeth Lund. Seriously, I just wanted to say shame on you.
Exactly.
And it wasn't even warranted. The girls didn't look or act any way that she was describing. That's why I was so confused. I'm like, what is she talking about? I don't understand what video, channel she was watching, but everything that they showed on the news and was online, it didn't portray that at all.
And then someone had the nerve to me that she did it for political reasons. That's a bunch of bull, you know what, because that was not for political reasons at all. She thought that she was going to get a big support group rallying around her, and she meant exactly what she said, because if you read her what she wrote that was carefully crafted. That's not something that's going to pop off the top of your head. And and I've read it over and over again. I used to be an investigator, so I know when I was reading the statement, I'm like, are you kidding me? But I think the biggest issue, and I think which a lot of people, a lot of black women gave me a lot of flack about it, which they didn't understand, is that this is deeper, and this goes back further than Elizabeth Lawton, because historically, girls of color have always been, and Dr. Duncan and Ada, you know, all of us talk about this, how they're held to, they have to, they're being told, like, you have to be a certain way or you're not going to be accepted in society. Now, we're not talking about good manners and having good home, proper home training and being respectful and polite. No, we're not talking about that. It's that girls of color are being told that they can't be who they are and they have to fit this pre-molded little ideology of what they're supposed to be as a girl of color. And to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, wouldn't that cause a young girl to have identity issues? If they're constantly they're trying to be themselves, but told, oh, no, you can't be you. You have to be like this.
I think the media definitely pulls out and puts the stereotypes in the limelight and really pushes it. So that's what they're looking at on TV, listening to on the radio. You know, so it's bombarding them from all areas. I mean, unless they were to live under a rock and not have electricity or radio or anything, that's what their, most of what their extracurricular activities consist of. You know, they listen to music with their friends, they watch TV with their friends, everyone's on Instagram and Facebook. So, you know, where people post pictures and make comments, so it's everywhere, and it starts to take effect or brainwash them or confuse them, and it's just not fair. They don't get to have their own identity of what they feel or who they feel they are based on their family environment or what their family's trying to teach them. They have all these outside sources that are saying otherwise. So it's confusing enough to be a teenager and then you have all these other sources telling you who you should be. It's, you know, what are they supposed to do?
So what do you think, Dr. John Kim?
Well, also, what I wanted to point out was, I mean, kind of relating back to even that New York Times article about how girls of color are penalized a little bit harsher for whatever, and I don't want to call it crime, but whatever they may do incorrectly, right? Whereas someone who is not of color, they're kind of like slapped on the wrist. And the thing is, like, there have been numerous articles about Elizabeth Lawton, how, who is she to judge the president's daughters when, you know, at the age of 17, which is actually just a year older than Malia, she was caught stealing from a department store. And, you know, she didn't get arrested or get in trouble. She got a misdemeanor, and she was under, like, court supervision. But who is she, you know, like, knowing that that's what Elizabeth Lawton did, that's what she did at 17, to judge these girls and then, again, to compare them to girls that are seen in the bar. I mean, that alone shows just a lack of class. But also, the thing that, like, when I first heard about what Elizabeth Lawton was ranting about, and I call it ranting because it really was really stupid on her part, everything that she was saying. But I even, like, in the back of my mind, and I did not want to simply just jump on this and say it or think it, but I think it was a race issue, because it's like, why are you judging these girls, when the Obama girls, so harshly? When, come on, remember the Bush girls, the naked parties at Yale, underage drinking, and even though, like, that was reported, why go after two girls who are just supporting their father a little bit before Thanksgiving? And, you know, they're not troublemakers. They don't have wild parties at the White House. They're not going out drinking. You know, they're good students in school. They're being successful. But I kind of want to say, like, I felt kind of like, and I know I'm, maybe the audience will think I'm making assumptions about this or jumping the gun, but I think I couldn't help thinking that Elizabeth Lawton was attacking them based off their color of their skin. And, you know, Yeah, and anyone who supported what Elizabeth Lawton said, like, they want, I think they honestly want to find something wrong with Michelle Obama, you know, constantly making comments about her butt, which is like,
yeah.
How professional is that? And then they just want to find something wrong with the two girls. Like, they're just waiting for those girls to make a mistake and be like, see, black girls, you can't change them. They're black. Can't change black girls. That's the way black girls are. See, they're troublemakers.
Yeah, that's true.
And what a huge burden to have to walk around with, to feel like you have to be perfect. Because not only are you the president's daughters, but you're black. And you have to be a good role model. And you can't make a mistake. And, you know, like, girls at that age, that's when you learn and you make mistakes. And you say stupid things. And maybe you dress inappropriately. And maybe you talk back to your parents. Or you, you know, act like your parents are not the most smartest people in the world, you know, and how did your parents make it through living so far in their lives when they're, you know, like you find out or you think like, oh, my parents are just not that smart. But, you know, like, why don't we give some credit to these girls that they're doing a great job? They're turning out great. And you know, like, stop just trying to look so hard and waiting for them to trip up and make that mistake, you know? And that's the very thing with, I think, even black girls in school and society. It's like, it's just sometimes feel like people are just waiting. Oh, see, you made a mistake. See, that girl, she wrote high, so now it's a criminal punishment, see? And then once they do make a mistake, it's like the punishment is so hard. And, you know, I'm all about if someone does something wrong, then let them pay for the crime. But, you know, let's not go overboard. Let's give them the fair punishment. Not more, not excessive. Because these girls of color, like, they're growing up. They're going to make mistakes. But aren't we here as parents, adults, in society to say, okay, you made a mistake. Now, how can we learn from this? We're not there to break their self-esteem or to hurt them or to break them or make them feel like, you know what, your life is just destined to be unsuccessful. But that's pretty much what we're telling girls of color sometimes is, well, not us, but people are just saying, you know what, you're just going to turn out like this. You're just going to be another statistic. Why would anyone want to take time to help you along or to support you? You're just going to drop out of school, become pregnant, probably sell drugs, you know, live that kind of life. So why waste my time on you? And,
exactly.
And just imagine, like, from the girl's mm-hmm. perspective, knowing, like, that's what you think of me just because of the color of my skin. Why would they even try?
And you know what makes it so sad is because when you try and talk about these issues and bring them to the surface, there's so many people in denial that any of these issues even exist. It's like, are you crazy? No, there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong. Girls of color are not treated any differently than any other girl from any other racial group and or any other skin color. And it bothers me, especially when I see people of color believing that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. That's where we get into the danger zone, because imagine the little girls who are growing up. I remember Dr. John Kim and Ada, I've told you before about my neighbor's granddaughter, who was the kids at school called her Mooly Marble because her skin was so dark. And mm-hmm. she went to predominantly all-white private school. And the kids picked on her and said all kinds of horrible, hateful things to her. Then she would come home from school, and a light-complexioned young man who lived at the block would tell her that her skin looked like she'd been burnt in an oven. So it's like kids can be cruel and say mean things. But I also think a lot of it, they hear adults saying it too. And even mm-hmm. if they don't, I think every parent needs to have that conversation with their child. And whether the kid has brought up these issues or not, and talk to them about skin color, how to be respectful and embrace everyone, regardless of how light, dark, whether they're short or tall, whether the hair is long or kinky or straight. They're human beings. Embrace them. And just don't try and tear someone down. Because when I see girls of color being treated disparately and then someone turning around and saying, what are you talking about? There's nothing wrong. But then you have to remember the society that we live in. They think it's okay to disrespect the first black president and his wife. And so if you see that happening, what does that tell you? They think that you're not supposed to talk about it. You're supposed to say, oh, okay, it's just like, think about this, Dr. Jung Kim and Ada. You know, for the past couple of months, all we have seen on blogs and news articles of how girls of color are being treated. We've seen comments and blogs postings about talking to your daughters about being beautiful and loving who they are and their self-esteem and so on and so on. And then it seems like it's a wave. It's like, you know, like a new pair of jeans or outfit becomes trendy, and then after a while it dies down. And that's what I see happening. Mm-hmm. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, a little bit.
They talk about it for a little bit, and then it dies down. And I'm saying, no, that's the problem. You can't stop addressing the issues. They must be addressed. And if you don't address them, then my response to people is shame on you, because you're contributing to the problem existing when you don't speak about it. So I do think that, go ahead, girls of color do so much.
Some people don't care. Like some of them, might not know what else to do. But I think for the most part, some of them just don't care. It's like they're going to go ahead and believe the stereotype and be like, well, just like Dr. Junkin said, what's the point of me trying to do this or help this person or these people if they're just going to end up like this? I think that's mostly what it is. They don't care. They see the statistics. They see, you know, what the stereotypes that the media hypes up about different racial groups, and they just go ahead and give up and assume that's going to happen. So there's no point in them trying to address any issues or correct any issues that any person might have, not just, girls of color, young men too. They don't see the point in trying to help, so they just don't. They just brush it aside and, let things continue.
That's sad. It's sad because what we're seeing, if you guys think about it, with all the discussions that we started seeing about women with darker complexions, talking about how they feel about their dark skin, a lot of these women have issues that they've grown up with from childhood. And when they're treated differently or told that there's something wrong with them because of the color of their skin or their race, that can scar. Let's say we have a 12-year-old girl. That can lead to deep scars. And if she continues to grow, if it's not addressed, if no one tells her that she's okay, that she's beautiful, that she's precious, that she has self-worth and value and to love who she is, that little girl in the next 10 to 15 years becomes the woman who walks around with the scars and all the psychological baggage and luggage, baggage that comes along with that. And as a result of it, she ends up making bad choices because she believes, because it was ingrained in her, that she's nothing. She has no self-worth, no value. Your skin is dark. Your hair is like this. And I also say, and I'm not saying that girls who are only girls with darker skin go through this, but I also believe that there are some girls who are lighter complexion, who are mixed race, I think they also may go through something too, because they're also treated disparately. Because it's, as we all know, it goes back to the old, well, you're not actually authentically black. Or if you're a mixed race person or a child, they target them even more. So I think it goes both ways. I think it's more of an issue with girls of darker complexion being attacked and having to go through more. But I think equally it's across the board. What do you think?
I totally agree. And I think, like, especially in the education system, I think, teachers will come into this classroom and they'll just instantly see a student of color. And they'll say, okay, in their mind, they will say, okay, you are, and they'll start categorizing everyone based off the way they look. And of course, the color of their skin. Okay, so you're really dark, probably lazy. you know, I know I'm probably going to have to work with you with your reading skills and probably speaking of bonics and you Asian person over there, like maybe, you know, you are probably an immigrant. And so I'm going to have to help you, you know, with your English language skills. And like the teacher will go in and they'll put everyone in a category. And a lot of times, like, they'll come in and, you know, well, you're ugly. No hope for you. You know, I've had people who are dark like you, and this is what you're like. And I think that goes back into the conversation that we need to have with educators and tell them, like, you know, you need to be aware of biases because the way that you teach students can affect in the future. If you, Asian girl. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, okay, move on.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you, you know, say, so you are a certain way. And I think that that's important. I think, like, teachers and educators need to be aware of their biases.
You're breaking up. Dr. John Kim, we can't hear you. I think we lost her.
No?
No. Are you still
there?
Oh, there you are. Dr. John Kim.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, that's better now. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
You keep going in and out.
Oh, I think. Okay. Hello?
There you go. Better.
Okay. So what I was going to say is a lot of times educators will put girls of color in boxes, and then I think teachers need to be aware of their bias.
You're not breaking up. You're breaking up. We can't even hear you.
Okay, sorry. What about now?
Okay, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, so I can't tell you how many times I have college students coming in, girls of color coming in and saying, you know, I'm not smart. You know, the first day of introductions, I'll be like, okay, tell me who you are, what your major is of study, and tell something interesting. And you know, they'll tell me their major, their name. But then by the end of the class, what I find is the girls will open up enough to say, you know what, I just want you to know I'm not a very good student. And, you know, I'm like, wait a minute. I told you the first day of class that everyone starts out with an A, 100%, and you just have to maintain it. And they just look at me and say, well, I'm not going to maintain it. I'm like, where did this come from? And every single time it's, well, my teacher told me or constantly ignored me in class and made me feel like I was stupid.
Yeah,
so that led me to, like, you know, why even try? Why even try to, you know, show them that I'm smart or that I'm intelligent? Or, you know, I know that eventually this is what you're going to think of me too. You know, you're a teacher. You're not going to like me. You're going to think I'm stupid, so I'm just telling you up front. And I'm like, no, you can't think like this. And I think, you know, it makes me so sad, especially, you know, in schools where there's just a lot of girls and boys of color, like, we especially need to put those same kind of teachers in there, diverse teachers who are aware, who understand the needs of our children, of our students, and will spur them on, like, be cheerleaders. And I wish that schools kind of taught you not only how to be a good teacher in your major, in your field, but also, okay, we really need to spend more than 2 or 3 classes in the School of Education as you're getting your certification to talk about diversity issues and to talk about what, you know, people of different races need from teachers to be successful, and how, you know, and I even want to say, like, you know, in a lot of the professional fields, teachers are required, or people are required to have, like, these educational credit classes, like, I don't know, every 6 months. In the same time, I wish that there was a way that you could catch those burnout teachers who are hurting your students and
to kind of say, okay, it's time for you to retire. Because I think if anything, I know there's so many things that girls of color need, but if anything, I think girls of color especially, I mean, hopefully they all have good parents, grandparents, good support system, family, who will say, you know what, I believe in you. You can do this. Make your dreams come true. But you know what, like, our students are spending a majority of their time in school, and they need that same kind of protection, that same kind of encouragement in their lives, and not teachers who will simply ignore them because of the bias or the stereotypes that they have in their mind of a student who has dark skin or, you know, of who's from a different race. You know, it kind of angers me to hear those stories over and over and over. And at the same time, I think that's why the three of us, like, really, really believe in I Am Beautiful. And, you know, just the feedback that we've received is just so positive. To know that, you know, this is going to make a difference. This book, it's, I don't want to compare it to the Bible because there's only one Bible. But it's like, think about it. If a girl could just read one page, one affirmation, 1 minute every day, you know, at least 1 minute, and just repeat it in their mind, take it to school and say, this is what I'm going to work on. Live life beautiful. What does that mean? I'm going to remember that, you know, and live it through and think about it and see what they can do to make that happen. I think that policy.
You're breaking up, Dr. Duncan.
Yes.
Okay. I want to make sure you were breaking up. Okay, you're clear now.
Okay. Well, I mean, I ended my sentence.
Hey, I think that the book is going to make a significant difference in the lives of girls, because just when I was sitting there reading them myself, and I've read it so many times until I laugh about doing that, but even though we wrote the book for girls of color, I also believe, and someone else said this, that women of color will benefit from it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's good, I mean, the affirmations are so rich. And by the way, everybody, these are all our original thoughts. And we had over 300 of them. We had to scale them down. And they were written so well. They're so clear and concise. And what's so beautiful about them is that every affirmation in that book is something that every girl of color needs to think about, focus in on, practice, and believe in all that they do. And I think books like this, because if you think about it, there is nothing out there on the market for girls of color that's, you know, specifically is encouraging, that says to them, you know, you're somebody, you have value, you have worth, you don't need to be validated by anyone to be accepted in this world, that your smile means something, your presence, your existence means something. I think this will help them see themselves in a different light. And I think once we all start going out, like on a speaking circuit and giving presentations and the webinars and talking to girls, I think that we'll be able to make a difference. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, as much as like STEM has become a big topic that we want our girls of color to get involved with and take part in, I think at the same time, like, yeah, we want our girls to be in good fields, professional fields, because they are capable. They're smart enough to be in it. But before we push them into those fields, if they don't have the foundation of believing in themselves, they're not going to be successful. And that's why I love everything that I Am Beautiful is about, with all the affirmations in this book, because it'll remind them that you are capable. Every single page in the book is a different kind of affirmation to remind girls that, you know, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're smart. Don't let people judge you. You know, think about the friends that you have. Think about what kind of impact you want to make on your life. Until they have that foundation and have that strong identity, it's going to be very difficult for them to move forward and be successful in their academic career or in their professions. And, you know, even myself this morning, I was reading some of the affirmations from the book, and I was amazed. I mean, I was doing my quiet time reading the Bible, and then I also, like, read through, like, 10 of the affirmations, and I was amazed. I felt like it really set a pattern for my day of thinking positively and believing in myself. And I think we all, you know, from our conversations, we all want the girls to read this book, you know, whether it's in the morning or in the evening. But to really read it and just to embrace it and let it soak in and know that, you know, how we feel about girls of color, that they are valuable, they are of worth. And as much as there's so much negativity in this world from TV and social media, you know what? We want girls to rise up and finally believe in themselves. And then be at the point where it's like, I don't need to be told by other people what I am, or if I'm beautiful, or if I'm acceptable. You know what? I have it inside of me. I feel so strong inside from my own belief, whether it's like belief in God or from these affirmations, like that they can move forward and say, you know what? I'm scared that I might fail. But you know what? Just like in our book, we talk about it's okay to fail. Every failure, take it as a life lesson and move forward. And honestly, like, I wish this book was around when I was a teenager, because as a teenager, even in my 20s, it's like, whoa, if I had a book like this, I think I would have been a little bit different. I think I would not have been so scared of taking those small chances in my life. And now as I'm closer to 40, I'm like, ah, forget it. Like, you know, I've had kids, I'm married, I'm just going to take my chance. But how much more of those, like, where I have just jumped off and said, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take that chance. I don't care what other people think. I don't care that I don't have the support of my friends or family. I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to live the rest of my life under the approval of other people. I'm just going to do it. So hopefully, you know, the girls who read this book will save some time and know that take chances, live your life beautifully, believe in yourself, know that you are beautiful. And I don't mean physically. I mean, like, you know, just you are the whole package, and that you sparkle like a diamond. Yeah, I love the book, and I know this is going to be a bestseller, and we already have so many people who want the book, and I think it's going to be sold out soon.
You know, it's really good because we have on our publishing company, Complexity Publishing, we have a lot of orders. People actually pre-ordered the book, and that kind of blew me away when I looked at it. And I was going to surprise you guys and send you an email, but I'll just tell you now. We have a lot of orders in there, and when I saw that, that made me feel really good. And with emails that you're getting, people are saying, wow, thank you, it's about time, we needed this. I'm saying, wow, really? And I think our purpose in writing this was to give back and just to say to girls of color, know that you have worth, and you can be anything you want to be, you desire to be in life. It's through hard work, dedication, perseverance, of course, and you can be a success story. Ada, what are your thoughts?
I agree. On a personal level, growing up, I did have those positive reinforcements. Even though I am a minority, I am of mixed race, I never really had any bad issues or self-esteem problems. I was always taught to, you know, believe in yourself, go for what you want, achieve your goals, but you have to work for it. Nothing's going to fall in your lap. You know, this is your life. This is what is going to work for you. You have to work for it. No one's going to give you anything. So whereas I did have the positive, you know, reinforcement of you're beautiful, you're a strong woman, you can achieve this, with also, you know, academically grades every year, you know, those little trips to Toys R Us did help. you know, so even though I might have been a little bit spoiled in that respect, I was also taught, you know, the value of a dollar, the value importance of hard work, and, you know, deserving that. You know, I deserve to have the very best. I deserve to be able to achieve what I want to achieve in my life and live life beautiful. And I think that has really basically disappeared from a lot of families, from a lot of young girls in their lives today. And I feel like they're lost, they're confused, or they're just falling into the stereotype and becoming another statistic, which is not good, because that is what, you know, most people buy into or believe, because it's what they see every day, it's what they live, it's what they experience. And I think it really needs to change. I think it really needs to get back to empowering, even as a parent, empowering your children, believing in your children, encouraging them, reinforcing, you know, positive behaviors and not rewarding negative behaviors. For example, I work in a school and a child was suspended for, I believe, punching another child in the face because the child accidentally dropped something, a bottle of water or liquid or something, and it splashed on the child. The child went to tell his mother. His mother tells him, go punch the other kid in the face. And I mean, really, you know, and, you know, she was upset about it. She came in to talk about it with the, you know, assistant principal. And that's how she felt. You know, she felt that she was having her child defend himself. And I was like, well, nothing happened to him. He got splashed with some water. It wasn't on purpose. It was an accident. So, you know, only thing that needed to be done was an apology from the other kid to say it was an accident. No one should have put their hands on anybody. He wouldn't have gotten suspended, but, you know, based on what he's being taught at home, that's what he was taught he should do. If something happens to him that where he feels like he's being wronged or disrespected, you know, he's taught to, okay, I need to physically lash out, you know, to defend myself. And, you know, what's going to happen when he's 17, 18, and he does that, you know?
Wow. That is really sad.
What if, you know, the other person could decide to press charges and, you know, he gets locked up for something so simple that he should never have been taught to do. And I believe he's in fourth or fifth grade. So, you know, how is that going to morph and change to when he's, you know, 18? You know,
and
again,
it's
it just
why would
leading down the same. I don't know. I
I disconnected Dr. Jung Kim.
Oh.
Dr. Jung Kim, if you can hear me, I am calling you back in 2 seconds. But,
okay.
Ada, you know, the conversation going on, getting Dr. Jung Kim back on the line, I just think it's terrible for a parent, especially even with a girl or a boy, to tell them to go and hit another kid. I remember a couple of years ago here in Maryland where these two girls were having a fight and their mother...
Okay, hi.
Okay. And I don't know what the other mother did, but the two girls had an argument. I think it was about a boy. And I think they were 16 or 17 years old. But the two mothers drove their daughters to a parking lot of a store when the store closed down. They told their daughters to get out of the car and to fight it out. And I remember one of the girls who was involved in it, her mother's the one who I know is an attorney. And when she came back and she told me, I said, are you kidding me? I know that your mother did not tell you to go fight somebody else over an argument about a boy. But that was the mentality.
Yeah.
And it's sad because, number one, one of the affirmations that we talk about in the book is that fighting is just so unbecoming for a young girl, a lady, whatever. You don't put your hands on somebody else, you know. And I think it was a jealousy thing with them, too. One girl was jealous because a guy was flirting with the other girl or something. But it's like we go back and we talk about in the book how jealousy is just like a wasted emotion. And fighting mm-hmm. beneath, as a girl or a young woman, teenager, preteen, or tween, whatever they call them, it is highly inappropriate, and it's a path that you do not want to go down. You guys know how old I am, and I have never in my life had a fight. Never.
Mm-hmm.
I've never hit anybody, and I've never had anybody hit me, like to have a physical altercation. Never, ever in my life. And I think even as old as I am now, when I was younger, thinking back, and I probably don't remember, because, you know, when you're younger, you think differently. I really don't know what I would have done if someone actually physically put their hands on me. Here in Baltimore a couple weeks ago, it was an issue where these young girls were fighting with each other in the street, where they attacked one girl and they dragged her around like a rag doll and just beat this girl. It was a girl gang. And they beat this other little girl. They were all black. Beat her, dragged her through the street by her hair, like she was an animal. And my point is that the principal of the school that those girls belong to, even though it happened outside of the school, off the school grounds, right outside the school gate, the very next day I would have had a conversation with the girls in my school about fighting. And we don't see that taking place any longer. We don't see them, you know, and they may be doing this, and maybe it's far and few, maybe there's some we just don't know about who are doing it, where they're encouraging girls of color to embrace who they are, stop fighting, stop doing mean things to each other. But the problem is that what happens when they go home? Like, they tell them all this stuff in school, and this is why I think Live Life Beautiful is going to be that answer, because when the girls are home, whether they purchase the e-book version of the book or the paperback version, they can either open up their reader and read the book, or they can open up the book and just start reading the affirmations. And there's an affirmation in there, I think, for practically every topic that we could think of for young girls. Am I correct, gang?
Yeah, every topic.
I mean, and that's what I think is going to be so great about it. I had a conversation with a young lady last night. I'm a mentor, helping with a colorism project, and we were talking about some of the issues that young girls go through. I mean, it was a really great conversation, so we're going to meet next week. And what I found interesting in the conversation is that this young lady was so well-rounded, very intelligent, very poised, very proper, and she's originally from Jersey, who moved to a southern state, and the black people there in the southern state were saying to her that she acts white, she talks white, on and on. And through our conversation, I told her, you know, about that. My point that I'm making is that for all the girls of color, for your parents, aunts, whoever is listening, we have to teach our girls that there is no set standard or way of behaving. One size does not fit all. And for someone to say to a black girl, you're acting white, or if you don't act black, well, then how does black act? And I think that's something else we need to get away from. What do you guys think?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
I know I shared an affirmation with some of my, I'm teaching this one class where, you know, I have 15 girls who are like Hispanic and two are black. And I shared one of the affirmations from the book with them about, you know, they're diamond and they sparkle. And just said, hey, what do you guys think of this? Well, yes, the conversation did end with them saying, where can I get the book? I'm buying the book. So right there, we have some people who are buying the book. But what really struck me that kind of touched my heart that I forgot about is they're all girls who are like between the ages of 18 and 20. And they read it, and I said, what do you think? And they didn't say anything to me. And at first, I was kind of scared, like, uh-oh, is it that bad? And then they all kind of looked at each other with very watery eyes, and they said, you know, Dr. Jung Kim, I've never heard anyone say that about me. Like, never. I'm like, what do you mean? You're like 18 or 19 or... And they were like, no, nobody has ever. And they're like, maybe because my parents are you know, just working all the time or they're busy. I mean, I know my parents love me, but no one has actually ever said that I'm important or that my life could potentially have worth or meaning.
Wow.
And that's when it struck me that, you know, this book is important. There's people, there are girls out there who've never heard it, that they're important, that they can make a difference, that they're not just some cookie cutter girl that was made, that they're unique, that they're special, and that only they could potentially carry out whatever their life plan is, and that it's okay that they have individual dreams. And, you know, they're like, I think I was told that when I was 3, or, you know, when they were little, but now that they're adults or, you know, in college or in high school, they're like, no, I don't hear it. So hopefully this book will touch the lives of other girls of color like it did with my students, and also just serve as a reminder that they're really special, and we want girls, people to be moved by this and just to be reminded that their life does have meaning and worth. And another thing that's kind of amusing that Dr. Colworth and Ada and I have all spoken about is, you know, I Am Beautiful, it's just growing by the thousands, like, every day. Like, not that they're liking it, but the viewing, we see the views, and thousands of people are visiting it every day. We don't know if the same people or what, but thousands of people is the feedback that we're getting on the I Am Beautiful Facebook and blog. But when we look at to see who these people are, you would think that they're women, young girls of color. Who are these men? Who are these, like,
men like
non? Who are these, like, white men coming to visit our website who like it?
And this is something I just found so wonderful about it. I'm saying, even though everything we're doing is for girls of color, we're getting so many people who are not people of color embracing what we're doing and liking it, and that makes you feel good because, you know, we're not trying to separate, because we all believe in separate, we all believe in racial unity across the races, but we are so concerned out there that was designed to say to little girls of color, you know, learn about your culture, your heritage, your pride, embrace the fact that your all your hair, you know, styles and textures and skin colors are different. So when we see people who are not people of color embracing this, it makes you feel really good as well. As you see the people of color, and I just think that this is going to be, I think that this is going to be a book that's going to be around, of course, a long time, and I truly, honestly believe, and this is just from reactions of asking other people, like young girls, like, what do you think about this? And they love it. And I'm saying to myself, wow. So last night, Dr. Jung came on, was exhausted because you guys know I'm working on a big case, and I sat down at the computer, and then I said, now let me close. So I opened up my iPad, and I started reading the book in the reader and on my iPad, and I'm reading it, and I'm going through it, and I'm like, wow, this is really nice. I really like this one. And I think at the end of the day, gang, when you work as hard as we have worked, and our whole goal was to make a difference in the lives of girls of color, and when you see that in, and you're reading it, and the words are so meaningful, and to hear other little girls say, like, wow, I can't wait to get a copy of that. Can I have a sneak preview? And I'm like, no. But it's just, it makes you feel good because we're giving back. And we didn't do this for money. We did this because we knew something needed to be done to make a difference for these girls. And I also think that a lot of, like, church groups, girl organizations, I know there's some that are international that are really interested in the book. We're just figuring out, you know, the shipping and everything, but to see people even internationally embracing this is wonderful. So
yeah.
We're there.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know what we're going to do if they ever ask us to come out there, because it sounds like Dr. Colbert's right. Like, there's some people who are like, can you come out here and visit us, like, in the summer or something with those books? Like, it'll be exciting. This is... You know, I love that we changed this from, you know, ICP, the global, because this is definitely something that's becoming very global, this book and just the issues that are discussed in I Am Beautiful.
And I think I'll tell you guys what I'm telling everybody that keeps saying, well, can you guys come out and give a presentation or can you come here? And this is what I'm telling you because I can't fly because of my allergies are so severe. I keep telling everybody either Dr. Jung Kim or Ada, one of the two will be there. And then, well, are you coming? I'm like, I can do a Skype with you if I can travel there in a car. But I can't get on an airplane. And they're like, oh, you're kidding. I'm like, you love Dr. Jung Kim and Ada. But, and I am telling people there's really that you guys are going. So you guys better clear your schedule because you're going to have to use a lot of vacation time. It was a joke. I was joking. I like the reaction. Ada, you have any? You guys have any closing thoughts? We're going to wrap up. It's 9:10.
Can I just re-emphasize the whole how to win a signed copy of the book, since there's been a lot of interest about that?
Yes. Yes, please do.
Oh, okay. So there's been a large population that makes up like our followers and just people who've been like direct messaging Dr. Colbeth and I about how do we get a signed copy of Live Life Beautiful, which is kind of humbling. Like, why do you want to, I just feel like telling Dr. Colbeth and Ada, like, why would they want a signed copy? But hey, if you want a signed copy, yes, there is a way that you can do it. So remember, your voice is important. We want to hear from you. So if you're interested in getting a signed copy, you know, you can go to the I Am Beautiful website on Facebook or, you know, WordPress. And what we're looking for is either you can send it through email or just answer the question through like a 10, 30-second video. And the question, you can answer one of the following, like what I love about being a girl of color or what I want other girls of color to know is, or to simply, I'm a beautiful girl of color because ... So again, go to the website, go to WordPress. You can send it to Dr. Colbeth or myself, the video, by Monday, December 15th. And, you know, if you are one of the lucky winners, then you will get a signed copy. So good luck.
That's excellent. Yes, good luck to everybody. That's going to be fun and interesting. Well, Ada, do you have anything else you would like to add? Ada?
No, I'm here. Hello?
Okay. Do you have anything else?
No, I'm just very excited about the book that it's finally finished and it's going to be out for people to have, to read, enjoy. It was great working on it. And I thank you for starting the whole project, the whole idea, and making me a part of it, because it's really something that's important that you believe in, we all believe in, that should happen. So I'm just excited and happy that it's happening, and thank you for having me on the show, and I'm looking forward to great things.
Same here. Ladies, Dr. Jung Kim and Ada, thank you both so much. And to our listeners, Live Life Beautiful Affirmations for Girls of Color will be available next week. We, of course, will blow up social media and the map. We are getting press releases out. We're hosting webinars. And I think we'll probably get this out next week. If you are interested in buying like a couple of copies of the book, we will also host a webinar. Or if you're within a local area, we'd actually come there and give an in-person presentation to you, and you can communicate with us directly about your location. If the distance is too much, then we would do a webinar for you and a group of girls. And I think it's Dr. Junkie, was it 50 or more books? And Ada, am
yes,
I right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, it's 50.
50 or more books, we will give you the free webinar. And the webinar that we would give you would focus in on the foundational principles of living life beautiful, the foundation principles of beautiful, as well as the live life beautiful concept. And so if you are interested and you do purchase 50 or more copies of the book, we will provide you with a presentation, a workshop. And for those of you who are interested in us giving for speaking engagements, you can also contact us at publicity@complexitypublishing.com. So thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Next week we'll have an interesting show, and we're counting down to the end of the year. So I think we have like maybe one or two shows left before 2014. But thank you for tuning in, everyone, and we look forward to you tuning in next week. And don't forget, look for our notice that the book is available in the ebook and the print copies are available for purchase. And you can always look at them by going to our website also, complexitypublishing.com. I have to finish going through with our Amazon account. It'll be up. So in the meantime, you can go to complexitypublishing.com to purchase a book. The ebook, of course, is probably already on Amazon or will be next week. So we're excited. We hope that you're excited, and the book will be make great Christmas gifts for your nieces, daughters, cousins. So feel free to pick up a couple of copies. We won't mind. Thanks for tuning in every night. Good night, Dr. John Kim and Ada.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.